Welcome to NetFront Presence. I'm Jeff Gordon of the Post-Dispatch, joined once again by Jim Thomas of the Post-Dispatch. As Tom Timmerman travels with the team to the West Coast, we get JT in again. And life without Jay Bomeister, life without Scotty Upshaw, the challenges just keep coming for a Blues team that's on the outside of the playoff picture trying to fight their way back in.
Yeah, that was a tough finish on many fronts against Dallas, Jeff. My goodness. And Bomeister, watching the game, he just didn't look like he was moving well. And, of course, in the code, the world of NHL hockey, it was described as a lower body injury.
Yes,
and then,
yes.
Then the hip finally goes out. And, being around the NFL, the football world, you're used to seeing players play maybe in pain or when they're hurt. But this hockey stuff takes it to a whole nother level. Now, he goes out. Jay Bomeister, this is after his ankle, I laugh, I'm not sure Jay Bomeister, this is after he breaks his ankle in a scrimmage and misses like the first 20 games, but then he comes back, he's playing, and it's the day after Jaden Schwartz gets hurt, December 10th against Buffalo, and we really didn't think too much about it. That was the hip injury. He missed about 9 games, he comes back, but when he missed those 9 games, he got an injection. They told him right there, Jeff Gordon, you need surgery or you can try to finesse your way through the season. And all the credit in the world to Bomeister. He made it within like 4 weeks, at least at the end of the regular season. And now what do you do with him?
Well, you see, and here's we tried to explain to people, like, look, he's playing hurt. But did the fans care? No, Jim. On my chat, just, why do they play Bomeister? I don't like Jay Bomeister. Jay Bomeister, he doesn't want to buy out Bomeister when nobody wants him. So we got all that whining with the Blues fans, and this guy's clearly dragging one leg, you know, and we all can see it. Yet he's still playing top 4 minutes. Fans have to respect how hard his minutes were, matching up in the top four with Parayko after he played with Pietrangelo. Yeah. Tough matchups and penalty killing. All of them are tough minutes. He's logging him on one leg.
Yeah, almost as many minutes, a little over 20 minutes a game, almost as many as he's averaged with the Blues. So he was out there a fair amount. Now, after a while, they'd settled him in with Parayko just because they thought, you know, Parayko skates well, moves well, and you'll have one guy that really doesn't skate well or move well. But so now 4 to 6 months, he's got 1 year left, $5.4 million on the cap hit, and I guess he'll be 35, I want to say, either before or once the season starts. What do you do with Jay Bomeister?
Well, I think, you know, there's a couple things here. I think the fans who were just saying, well, you know, buy him out, I mean, because he's injured, that takes that off the table because he's likely to be sidelined. When you look at that timetable you described, knowing his age and such, he could well be sidelined through camp, perhaps even into the season. He's still going to be trying to get his legs back. So, and I don't ever think that was an option because, frankly, as a top four D-man, if you got rid of him, you're going to have to replace him with another top four D-man. And if you're paying him to go away, then you're going to have to pay somebody to replace him because there's no other top four guy in the house. Edmondson's coming back, getting a big raise. Petro's in that category. Alex Pietrangelo and Colton Parayko. Beyond that, you don't have a top four.
No, and done at least temporarily, and it may only be for a game or two. We'll move up to that second unit, but I don't think we can sit here right now as nice of a story as Vince Dunn's rookie season has been. I don't think we can sit here right now and say, oh, he's a top four defenseman. I don't think he's there yet. Maybe he never gets there.
Right. Now, so you look at who else they have, and right now, as you describe it, with Joel Edmondson still trying to recover from the broken bone from blocking a shot with the – actually left the ice with the bone protruding and everything. That's hockey. You could tell it was a serious injury because you could see the bone coming through the skin.
It's usually a telltale sign.
Yeah, that's why Chaser was pretty sure it was a severe injury from watching him leave the ice. You look at what they're doing now, and as you mentioned, Vince Dunn moves up into the top four. You know, he's a rookie, a surprise to make the team. He's been a revelation, but he's still a work in progress. Then your third pairing, Robert Bortuzzo, an in-and-out-of-the-lineup guy, and Jordan Schmaltz. And then Carl Gunnarsson, another guy who'd been in and out of the lineup, moves all the way up to the top pairing with Alex Pietrangelo. So this is not a defensive core that can just shrug off the loss of a top four D-man.
No. And, getting Edmondson back will help because it looks like he's an emerging player. But, you know, they're talking about, I mean, they're really pushing the envelope on this, that maybe before this West Coast swing is out that he'd played. As we sit here today on Net Front Presence, Jeff Gordon, it's only 4 weeks, what was originally described as a 6-week injury. So, my gosh, I know they're in a push to make the playoffs, and you don't want to, by the time maybe Edmondson's back, if you wait the full 6 weeks, maybe without him, the Blues are out of the playoffs. I asked Joel Edmondson the other day, how healthy is that forearm? If I arm wrestled you right now, could I win? And he, without a doubt, he just looked at me and said, no, I would take you. So I guess, I don't know, maybe I need to get to the gym or something. I don't know.
Well, I do think his injury is going to heal quicker than it was at Cowboy Bob Orton that had the cast on for what seemed like a lifetime.
Cowboy Bob Orton.
Just the slow healing nice arm injury.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe he gets back for on this L.A., this West Coast trip. But if not, I would think almost certainly a week from today, the first game after the West Coast swing is the Colorado Avalanche. So yeah, they're going to get him back there, and that'll help. But you know, Jordan Schmaltz, he's 24 years old. He's kind of right at that age. The old saying, I had a coach once tell me, you get to a certain age where you kind of go from maybe prospect to suspect, and he's kind of right there. You know,
right. So if he stays, he's at that point where his next contract, here or somewhere else, he would like it to be a one-way contract, which means that he will get paid NHL wages if he gets stuck in the minors. Also, that he would have to clear waivers to go down to the minors. So he's at that point where you just can't keep sending him down to the American Hockey League. He's done that. He's run his course down there. He's played at a high level. So the positive of these injuries, and it's tough to see to say positive on it when a team is, you know, faltering, but you do play Dunn in a bigger role with more minutes, and you do play Schmaltz on a somewhat regular basis here for the stretch. Maybe there's some player development that takes place. Bortuzzo, you have to rely on him. Is he a guy you're going forward with? Another thing that you're trying to determine as you just start picturing next year and beyond is, where is Robert Bortuzzo? Can he be that every game defenseman, or is he a guy that moves in and out?
So. Yeah, and this year, you know, he's made strides. He just reached his career high for games played, 56, and then he gets crashing to the boards in Dallas February, I guess it would have been 15th, and he misses five games. The thing they missed, too, with both those guys is you know, they bring at least some element of toughness, Bortuzzo and Edmondson, that, you know, they've kind of missed. And I realize, Jeff Gordon, the game is changing, but still, you still need a couple guys like that on your roster, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, this clearly has been a missing element when you look at where the Predators are going. Big Austin Watson bulldozing around, what an effective player he's become for the Predators. They go out and get Hartman from the Blackhawks, another guy that plays a very north-south physical game. They definitely have added some heft up front to try to play that way in the playoffs, to go in and bang around and to give you that. So, yeah, this team right now, it has, you know, Yashkin, who will throw a body check, and now they get Bortuzzo back, he'll throw a body check and drop the gloves. But otherwise,
yeah,
it's not the heavy team that you've
no,
heard about
and,
before.
And again, I realize the game is getting younger and faster. They bring a guy like Sochnikov, and he throws his body around, but it's not a big body.
No,
I mean,
no.
He looked like a crash dummy going into the net in Minnesota. Six stitches on the bridge of his nose, and you know he missed the Dallas game. But he's gonna go out there. He does play a little bit. What's the expression? A little bit with the hair on fire. You know, he's a little bit of a wild man, but it doesn't look like he's got the body to last there.
He's got the Tyson Nash disease. You know, he can't hit with leverage. Nash would run around and smack into people and be an agitator and get people mad. But he wasn't ever going to hurt anybody with one of his body checks. It just where Ryan Reeves hit you, you noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy like Berglund will bump into people, get credit for a hit, but he's not exactly bone-crushing.
No.
So
no.
They could use a guy in that role. Maybe one of the things they look at this summer, if the Vegas Knights don't commit to Ryan Reeves, is maybe the Blues commit to Ryan Reeves.
NHLPA's player poll recently came out, said he was the toughest player in the league by far. Patrick Berglund, I don't believe, got any
votes.
I got to ask you this, a little bit off on a tangent, but there was a moment in that Dallas game where Pietrangelo falls to the ice, Jamie Benn gives him a facial. Now, I realize the Blues were in a tight game, so you probably don't need a penalty. And at that point, they were down to just five defensemen. But, and I'm still kind of learning this whole strange hockey code of stuff. What would have happened in the old days? I mean, it was quite the facial he gave him as right. he was getting up.
Yeah, you know, you would normally have a milling around where people would come in and then another guy would come in, so it wouldn't be just one guy coming in. Ben's a pretty rugged character. It's not like people are lining up, you know, looking to mix it up with him. He's a pretty sturdy lad. So, yeah, but normally you'd have to have somebody get in there to show up, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then that guy is going to have backup, and this is likely a guy that could get pummeled if he's not, you know, careful. So, yeah, normally there would be the scrum where everybody would be in a big pile up, and there'd be a lot of face washing at that point. You know, a lot of gloves in the mitts and a lot of guys getting pokes in. Knowing that the officials weren't going to penalize everybody, then you see some guys taking some pokes. And some prize. And, and the officials tend to even it all up when those scrums occur.
Yeah, and so sometimes they just, okay, break it up, boys, and nobody gets
so penalized. You would definitely want to see guys come in and do the face wash.
And I know a lot of Blues Nation was just like, they were alarmed by that. Braden Schenn got in there a little bit, but
and that's an element that you have to have, especially this time of year. Now, that becomes less important as the playoffs progress. But certainly getting into the playoffs in that first round where there's a lot of that activity. And it tends to settle down as the games gain even greater importance and the teams focus in on trying to win in advance. But early on, you're all trying to establish your identity. And right now, the Blues' identity is not exactly a Braveheart, you know, slash Rob Roy territory. You know, this is not good.
Not exactly.
No, it's not good. So, but this is just one more issue they have. And
Russell Crowe and Gladiators, are you not entertained? None of that, huh?
No, I think those days with this particular group have passed. And as much as we've discussed the D and concerns about that and with Bouwmeester missing maybe start of next year, and then maybe he's a guy later in the year you might trade depending on where your team is, his cap number's down, another team needs a guy, you get a draft pick for him. You could see that, him waiving his no-trade clause. That could be the eventuality with him. But otherwise, you can see your defense coming together with him. Up front's a whole different matter.
Oh, my gosh.
That is a complete scramble.
Especially, not that Scotty Upshaw was Wayne Gretzky, but again, missing him, no Stasny. Oh, my God, that third and fourth line. Yeah. You've got to really use your imagination to visualize goals coming out of that group.
Yeah, I was going to just ask you, just throw it out there. What's with these? I mean, this is what you're left with Fabry's injury, Stastny's trade.
You know, you thought Zach Sanford, you thought would maybe be a third line guy, and he's out, and it's reached the point. And actually, you know, Kyle Brodziak's had a nice little season. He's a guy, although his advanced hockey age, you would want to bring back. But now he's a third line center now, Jeff Gordon, and that means my guy, my bro, Sonny Sundquist, they're dusting off the cobwebs. He's going to come out against San Jose as the fourth line center on the energy line.
Now, I'm going to go on a limb here and say that the Blues are going to need to upgrade at center for next season. You know, Braden Schenn's had a very solid year. It's been a bit of a struggle lately, as Schwartz hasn't been the same guy as he came back from the injury. They're certainly not as hot as they were, but he's had a very solid year. Your other three centers, the great Ivan Barbashev working with 91 and Alexander Steen. Then you got, as you mentioned, on the third line, Kyle Brodziak working with Sobotka and Berglund. And then your guy, Sonny Sundquist, on the fourth line. Boy, I tell you what, you subtract
with Sochnikov and Tage Thompson right now.
So you subtract Schenn from that. And those other three centers, does anybody have a worse trio of whether you'd call them 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah.
I guess you would. You really. Maybe you could try to say Barbashev centering the top line. I don't know. But three of your four lines, man, that is not stellar.
And maybe if you had and these are an important, I think, 16 games for Barbashev. He's shown a flash here, flash there. If he was like your third-line center, Brodziak your fourth-line center, and you had a stud as your second-line center, you'd at least say, okay, but – You look at this and, where do the goals come from? My gosh, Brodziak, he's centering a line with the two guys they tried to trade, Sobotka and Berglund, mm-hmm. you know?
And those, you know, they went ahead and took the tags off their helmet so that they won't be fly in the breeze. They won't have the for sale sign on them. But, yeah, I mean, so how do you evaluate? Like, you're going to go forward and try to evaluate your team. I mean, you're right now, you're playing our guy, the whipping boy, at least on this podcast, for much of the season. Dmitri Yashkin on a scoring line, and he's getting power play time. Jim Thomas.
Oh, my gosh. That second power play unit had both Sobotka and Yashkin. And here's the thing. Where are the – first off, as you mentioned, the top three guys aren't nearly scoring like they are. You know, Tarasenko, Shen, and Schwartz.
Right.
I mentioned in today's paper, and it's online at stltoday.com. Sometimes it's not that complicated. If you look how hot, for example, Minnesota's top line has gotten, and it's kind of carried them.
Right.
We remember wistfully now how hot Shen, Schwartz, and Tarasenko were earlier in the season. Not all the time together, sometimes on separate lines. But during this 1-6-2 spell that they've had, Shen has one goal in those nine games. Schwartz has just two. And, okay, Tarasenko has three, but a couple of them came when at least one of them came when the game was pretty much out of reach against Minnesota. One, you got to get those guys going. But where are your secondary scorers? Steen had a pretty hot stretch, I think 20 points in 22 games dating back to before Christmas, but he's tailed off. Yashkin, I think he's got 3 points in 40 games, Jeff Gordon. It's a boat guy. I think he's been stuck at nine goals and 15 assists since I was covering the Rams' greatest show team. It's been a while.
Yeah,
this is
a little it's just not very encouraging. I mean, there's all the problems this team has. We talked about toughness. We talked about, you know, where they are defensively after injuries. But, man, he just – the scoring and the skill level and where do you go? How quickly can you get guys to fill in the blanks and then – you know, more critically, where do you get that established guy to play down the middle? Is mm-hmm. that what you're going to have for next year? Everybody wants John Tavares. Well, everybody in the league wants him. Who knows if he even hits free agency? After him, next best guy might be our old friend Paul Stastny, who may or may not stay in Winnipeg, just to see where the market goes. But
yeah, you know, and it was interesting, Jeff. He said in one of his interviews, the day he was traded, the day after, and it seemed like it just wasn't lip service, kind of leaving the door open for the
right.
Blues. Now, he grew up here and played here, and so you don't know if that comes to fruition. I kind of get the sense that no matter what, the Blues were hoping that, okay, Stastny, he's a known quantity, pretty good, but that the Blues all along, maybe Doug Armstrong was hoping maybe we could do better than that. In the off season, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I would think that maybe Robert Thomas, they would like to be centering one of the lines next year. Jeff, I'm just a little concerned, and again, I could be totally off base about the Blues developing some of these younger guys. Okay, Vince Dunn, rookie success story, but Thompson's been up and down, and now he seems to be, you know. Maybe he stepped into the Berglund doghouse. And, you know, Sammy Blais. Now, you know, Sammy Blais's been hurt a lot. It seems he just can't get going. But you see rookies around the league doing great things. And I know none of these guys were top 10 picks. But I just wonder about the development of these young guys.
Well, yeah, who are these guys? What are they? How quickly will they develop? You mentioned our guy Tajay in the doghouse, gets singled out for the lack of goal production, joined the club.
And then,
minus 10.
Minus 10, and then the C, which to me is the one that would sting the most, a lack of competitiveness.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were strong words from Mike Yeo.
He used the C word on him, and there you go. It's Tage Thompson getting us. He would not be with the team right now, except that they're out of players. It's pretty much what the coach was telling you there, JT. Yeah, well, why
maybe
is
he would be riding that Sammy Blais expressway down to San Antonio?
But, you know, Sanford has trouble coming back from the injury. Blais can't stay healthy. Everybody's, you hear, well, I want to see Clem Costin. He's in a Clem Costin like the damn Albert. Clem Costin next to Timo Solani. No. The guy is not getting it done in the AHL level.
And adjustment. He's one of the, I think the youngest, might be the youngest.
Going on 19
he might be the
summer,
youngest
yeah.
player in the yeah. A. But, you know, as diplomatically as Doug Armstrong could say it, because we asked him about it the other day, he said he's just not ready. He's having trouble. Although, somebody, I guess, are Russians not necessarily known as the fightingest guys? Is that true? Someone questioned whether he was Russian because he's gotten into some scrapes. He's got suspended for a game. And he went after our Blues prospect. He went after a Wade Megan in a Bulls I mean, they dropped the mittens, as they say, in the Bulls-San Antonio game.
Well, the Wolves, yeah. It's and Megan's a former was with the team earlier this season.
Started the season.
Yeah. So this is – well, I mean, the feisty side is good. He's got the body of an NHL
But he's
player.
Not ready.
Yeah, he's got to play at the tempo. So the issue becomes with Thompson, he's got to, you know, the compete level, play at the pace. You know, big guys tend to reach. Instead of going to get to where they need to be, they can get there by reaching. You know, like –
And wasn't the scout that told you that Kostin for a couple shifts, he looks great, and then it's just
Then he just falls off because, again, you got to play at that tempo. And guys, are, you know, you're a target, you're a kid, it's a man's league, you know, and he's obviously gotten frustrated, obviously thinks he should be progressing. And I wouldn't rule him out to help the team next year, but it's a process. He'll go back, he'll train, he'll come into next, presumably come into next training camp with a little more jump in his skates. I would work on his skating if I were him. Recommend pick up your skating ability just to find that half step. So you've got all these issues. You know, what do you have at Thompson? What do you have at Sanford? Well, right now, what do you have at Blay? What do you have at Kostin? Right now, as you say, none of these guys close to helping. You look at Jordan Kyrou, 106 points, 56 games, plus 27. Robert Thomas, 71 and I think 46 games.
And that was 18. With a 5-game suspension. And both those guys, too, missed what? A week to 2 weeks because they were on Team Canada,
the World Junior. So these guys, they've got skill, but it's a great point that's going to take time. And I keep pointing out that, you know, the 2019-20 season is where it all seems to come together for this group. That buys certain guys time to develop. You've still got guys on contracts that are either entry level or the one they're on now, in the case of Pietrangelo or Shen, who are guys that are going to make a lot of money on their next deal. Just because everybody makes more money in their next deal in the NHL, the money just keeps getting bigger. This is a team that's set up for 2 years. But how do you get from now till 2 years? Obviously, right now, you're not good enough to make the playoffs. Well, how do you get good enough next year? I mean, what does your team look like for next year? What do you do to speed this transition so that fans aren't told, like, well, yeah, once again, remember we told you last year to wait till, well, now we're going to tell you immediately that you're going to have, oh, yeah, one more year. I mean, fans have pretty much had it with that line.
This last month of the season, has it changed Doug Armstrong's kind of snapshot of where he viewed the team? And in talking to him in January and others, maybe in early February, still not quite sure the window's open, but he kind of made it pretty clear that he thought they were getting pretty close. You know, a couple additions. Has that changed now? Is there more work? We know, we can talk about this. We know it's changed in the goalie situation, but I still think the defense is set up to be pretty good. This, despite everything, despite the lack of goal scoring, the injuries, Jake Allen meltdown. I mean, it's still like the sixth or seventh best in goals allowed. So I think the defensive core is still pretty good, but you know, now you need two or three forwards, but the goalie situation, I don't know what you do there.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can move to that because really up front, we just covered it. There are a lot of guys that have to develop, and right now there are a lot of guys who are just holding a spot. And will there be a big play you can make up front to help your team? I don't know. You know they wouldn't mind. I think Doug Armstrong, when he looks at the forward, says, well, maybe I'm going to have to subtract guys I didn't expect to subtract, like a Sobotka, who should be movable with his 3.5 cap hit if it comes to that. You know, Berglund, 3.85. It's a moderate contract for a guy if he's producing at that third line level. Right now, at the moment, he's not. It's not the horrible contract some fans say. Laterra's contract, that was horrible. This is a guy that's probably would be difficult to move unless he starts producing at the level he's used to. Now, you look at all that, so you kind of understand what the challenges are up front. Goaltending, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do.
Jeff Gordon is at a loss for words here.
Well, as you wrote about it, you're at the point where you've got to go with Hutton because you're trying to win games.
Yeah. You can't go back. They gave him, game 6 starts in 8 games where it was every chance possible for Jake Allen. Okay, reclaim the net, get hot like he did last year. No.
Yeah, and I don't know what to... You know, what to say about that. I mean, I kept saying that, look, the guy, I keep going back. He was great as the team was in October. He wasn't very good in November, but the team was playing well, and that was masked.
And he was still okay. Yeah, he wasn't terrible.
Yeah. Then he was pretty good in December, but the team didn't score at all. Then he has a horrible back-to-back game. So Hutton takes over and catches fire. And then he was not able to handle the adversity of being, you know, told you're going to have to wait your turn. And you have time to work on your game and all this. But when you come back, you've got to perform like anybody. Look, it's big boy. Like Doug Armstrong said, you know, these guys aren't kids anymore.
Right.
When
right.
you come back in, you've got to perform. I mean, Hutton's been around forever. Now Allen's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, when he came back, he had every excuse, if you will, to say that it really hasn't been that bad. It's not a collapse like last year. We had to spend time away from the team to get his head together. But then at that moment where he had to come back and prove that he could screw the head back on and be good and, you know, finish it out strong and be the guy, not the guy.
Well, as you mentioned last week, that Sidney Crosby goal against Pittsburgh, to me, that was very
telling. The music died, Jim Thomas.
Yes. And then, you know, Minnesota, the 8-3 game the day after the trade. That was not good. And, you know, even, you know, Carter Hutton comes in and he gives up 5 goals. But, my gosh, they weren't just camping in front of the net in that game, the Minnesota Wild. They were baking s'mores and, hey, bring some more firewood. And Hutton, his good sense of humor, said it was the best worst game I've ever had. I mean, he made some tremendous saves. They could have, Minnesota could have scored 12 goals in that game. So, yeah, now what do you do? Interestingly, and it's interesting because, remember, San Antonio is Colorado Avalanche, mm-hmm. farm team. They have a lot of blues, but Villahuso is just killing it there, and they're putting him in the goal
right.
just about every night, but he's 23. You're not ready to turn over the car keys. What I'm asking you, Jeff, do you feel safe that he could even come up and be a backup goalie?
That'll have to be one of the options. I mean, if they look at what they're going to do with the team, they're going to have to make the judgment. Is he up to taking that step? Is there something you can do with Allen, whose contract is not onerous? He's at the right age. He's had a pretty good track record in the league. A lot of goalies have struggled this year. If nothing else, he's got plenty of company. We mentioned it last week. A ton of guys have had poor years. He's at a good age, a decent contract. There may be a place for him. Challenge for Doug. Does he hang on? Does he let him go? You know, obviously Jake's not thrilled with the timeshare, but so that makes it problematic whether you can bring him back or not. He hasn't handled it well this year. You know, I don't know what. I mean, it's just you look at the staff. Do you go get another goaltending coach? Do you go get another coach to work with the power play on a side topic? I mean, there's all these things that, you know, he thought he had, Doug Armstrong, a lot of things in place, including the goaltending. And he was really feeling confident going into the year that after Marty worked with Jake, bringing in a guy that's worked with Jake in the past would be a great fit.
Yeah, almost a personal goaltender, guy you've got a history with. It seemed like David Alexander did his best work working with Carter Hutton. Hutton's talked several times about how Alexander's helped him track the puck and stay focused and stuff, and Allen's regressed.
Yeah, and you look at some of the goals, the lack of confidence that has occurred. The goal where he thinks about coming out, and it doesn't, and he should have come out to play a puck. He hesitates, ends up giving up a breakaway goal. Later in the same game, he comes out and makes that play, comes out and gets just a piece of the puck to prevent a breakaway. But, yeah, the game's out of hand at that point. Whether it's another goal, a typical Jake Allen goal will be a shot that's deflected and slowed down considerably, coming straight at him after the deflection, and somehow the puck, which was still coming straight at him along the ice, more slowly than it was shot, dribbles through him,
mm-hmm.
the bleeding goal. And then, or he'll come over to close off an angle and the guy will still pick a corner, which can be poor luck, but at times he clearly doesn't get over, doesn't close the short side. So there are things you see in his game where, you know, these are the goals that you can't allow. And he makes great saves and acrobatic saves. Boy, but again, you come back to some of these goals you just can't allow, and he is. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could be very confident about saying, okay, we'll bring back Jake Allen and try to bring back Carter Hutton. One, Hutton's, he's going to get paid. I mean, he's not necessarily going to be a starter somewhere, but he, you know, maybe a situation where it's more, a team where it's more of a timeshare, where maybe you want 30 games out of Hutton and 50 out of the starter. That's what I'm thinking. Who knows?
Right.
You're saying with all these teams having struggling goalies, maybe his value's better. I mean, he's played well. He's played very well. He's really cashed in on a career year. Now, again, 16 games left going into the Thursday night game in San Jose. Maybe he's probably going to get, what, maybe if he even play, and he's come back to the pack a little bit. He's still playing very, very well, but he's not as hot. You got to see him playing maybe 12 of these 16 games.
See what happens, you know. And you know, it's just one of these deals where you didn't expect it to come to this. I would expect that he would push came to shove. They're comfortable with him here. I could see them bucking up. They will have money to do some things. It's just that he will have to, Doug Armstrong will have to do some other things that he didn't count on in order to account for that. You know, this is going to make it harder for him to address other things. So all of these, there's a lot happening all at one time. I still think this is a team that has a lot of pieces and a lot of potential, but so many things happened that were frustrating. You know, the Yashin getting every chance to play. Again, going back over all the guys, Yashin getting every chance to play, not producing. They thought they might have something in your guy, Sonny Sundqvist, but he just couldn't produce at all. You see Saboka just go cold. Berglund just hit a plateau. As the team sunk, guys that you needed to step up, veterans, did not. You know, those are being two of the examples.
And, you know, maybe just one or two guys to have that surprise season, you know. And They haven't had that. Some guy to break out.
Yeah, and then, you know, Dunn maybe as a rookie, but what about some of these other guys that you've been waiting on? A Barbashev who's been around for a while, mm-hmm. or a Yashin who's been around for a while. So it's all in all, I got to say, going into or toward the off season, it's just going to be wide open. With Doug Armstrong, he is not afraid. He made one move that we didn't expect, deciding that, okay, I'm going to get what I can for Stastny and roll. People keep saying around the organization, you know, there aren't a whole lot of guys that are completely safe. You know, I think 91 might be at his wage because it's such a team-friendly wage. But even that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is anybody? I mean, at this point, I mean, this is a frustrating scenario.
And I'm sure even if we went back a month or so ago, in his mind, he's got a lot more to do than he anticipated in the offseason. Again, he thought he was close. He thought that window was just about to open, and it's stuck, Jeff.
It's stuck. And a lot of guys went into this. Yeah, injuries were a factor, but other teams have had problems. Look at the L.A. Kings. I mean, they had Jeff Carter, a high-scoring number two center, out all year. They just got him back, and yet they're in the middle of the hunt.
Anaheim.
Just got crushed with injuries. Yeah. Getzlaff earlier this year. Kessler's not the same guy coming back from his hip injury.
Minnesota had a lot of injuries early.
Anaheim was decimated on the blue line. I mean, there were just so many things. You know, look at Minnesota. Parise was out much of, you know, still trying to get him back, a big money committed to him. And they had to do without him. I mean, it's on the guys that were here. A lot of guys failed. A lot of guys who used to be in the nucleus aren't anymore. So, Jim Thomas, as we come back, a net front presence for the remaining weeks of the season, so much of our discussion is going to be about what's next.
Sure. And this trip, I think, will make or break the playoffs. And there are some advantages, and we talked about this before we went on the air, to making the playoffs. You know, we'd be committed if we said, the Blues are ready for a Stanley Cup run. But I think there's something for a culture of winning. And only Pittsburgh and Chicago have had more consecutive playoff bursts than the Blues. So even the continuity, some of the younger players, the Duns, even if it's four or five playoff games, it would help. And we know Tom Stillman and the ownership group, they rely on that playoff money. So even if they squeaked into one round and old JT here got a trip to Vegas, you know, for a couple games for the first round. So there's something to be gained by that. But, as we get closer to the end, it feels it's come later. But usually a lot of seasons in my former beat by, you know, maybe the first week in November, you were already looking ahead to the draft pick and everything. And it's kind of definitely trending that way, Jeff Gordon. There's no denying it here in hockey world.
Well, that's Jim Thomas. I'm Jeff Gordon. This has been Net Front Presence. A reminder that you can find Net Front Presence and all the fine podcasts on STL Today at stltoday.com/podcast. Also, your favorite, your app, your podcast app, your iTunes, your Google Play. We're all over the place. Please subscribe to us. Tell your friends about us. Find us and share us. We'll try to bring you some upbeat news next week. But, boy, Jim, I don't know if we can promise our listeners any that we can put any, find any sunshine for these people. Well, Jim, we'll spend the next week looking for some sunshine.
We will search for sunshine.
But right now, only clouds for Blues fans. Sorry about everything, but until next time, as for JT, I'm Jeff Gordon. Take care.